thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. Anytime you're in Huntsville, we hope you will come be part of our worship. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Now, we hope you enjoy this lesson brought to us by Paul Owen.
What a wonderful and beautiful Lord's Day God has given us. He is good to us to allow us to live in the greatest land on this planet, to be able to have the freedom to come and worship Him and to open the Scriptures and to be able to read them really any time that we choose. To be honest with you, there is no message that is more difficult for me to preach than a lesson that pertains to prayer. It is because it is here that all of us feel a weakness. Isn't that true? If I were to ask you today, and I were to say, why do you not pray as you should? Why do you not pray as you would desire to pray? There's not probably hardly any of us here that could raise our hand and say, oh, because I do not know how. Or, I don't know that I should. Or, I don't know of its importance. But I would say the reason that we would all give would be the fact that we are so busy. And my, we are so very busy. I mean, so much going on in our lives from morning to night. And after 16, 17, 18 hour days, we lay our tired frame in the bed. And we try to get as much sleep as we possibly can and get up just in the nick of time so that we are not late to work. We get our bodies out of bed and we shower and we shave and we grab a quick breakfast. And we head out the door and we're on the way to work. We get to work or school or wherever our schedules takes us. And we say, oh no! Oh no, I meant to pray. But I didn't get it done. I didn't get it done. I want to tell you today that the one who taught us to pray lived a life very similar to ours. I wonder if we really, really appreciate how busy Jesus really was. You know, there are 52 days of His life that are recorded in the Gospel. Just 52 days. But from those 52 days, I want to tell you something. It is enough to help us understand what kind of life that He led. The busiest day that is recorded in His life is found in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. I mean, that day is so crowded with people and with miracles and with healings and teaching and preaching and people saying, Lord, I have this need. I don't understand this. Can you help me? And you look there in about verse 32 and 33 and it says, when the sun had set, the sick came and the demon possessed came. And then the Bible says the whole city was there at His door after sunset. When Jesus finally went to bed, and there is no telling what hour that might have been when He pillowed His head. This is what we read in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. It says, now in the morning, having risen long before daylight, He went out and departed to a solitary place, and listen, and there He prayed. Did you get that? He prayed. I mean, if you and I were to have such a busy day like Jesus, doing the Father's will, it might be that that next morning, we would say, you know what? Today, I mean, I'm just going to skip it. I'm going to skip it. No. That was the day that Jesus prayed. Someone has written these words. that we ordinary people cannot fit our lives into preformed styrofoam boxes. We cannot manage life as well as we would like, at least not in our secret places. We cannot get all of the strings tied. It just won't wrap up the way we want it to. For us, survival is often the biggest success story we dare to hope for. Ordinary people feel tired a lot. They come to church and listen to words about love and God's grace that has made life all right at the core. But they are often so muzzled by self-pity, so shackled by anger, and paralyzed by their own real hurts that they cannot find the extra reserve of power to open up to God through prayer. I think about that and I think, my, isn't it interesting that the very reasons why we do not pray, the very things that keep us from praying, are the very reasons that we ought to pray. You know, the truth is, if you go back and we search the scriptures, what we will discover is that for the Christian, there is no option. There really isn't. Not for, if we want the blessing of God in our life, personally, and the life of the church, there is no alternative. I wish I could stand up here today and say, you know what, I found an easier way. But the truth is, there is no easier way. Someone has written 4 or 5 rules to have the blessings of God in our life, and I'm going to read a couple of them. It says, no believer's spiritual life will rise to stay above the level of his or her praying. No church's corporate prayer life will be greater than the personal prayer lives of those who make up the church. Now, those are some hard rules, aren't they? But they are true. They are true. And I think it is so interesting as we look at this that we say, well, that really is a good summation of the priority of prayer in the Bible for the church. But I want you to think about something. We are commanded to pray, you and I. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing. We know that verse. Jesus said in Luke 18:1 that we always ought to pray and not give up. He said, don't give up. Don't get discouraged. I realize that some discouragement comes in praying, but let me tell you what. All discouragement comes in the absence of prayer. It's kind of interesting that if we look in other passages, such as Colossians 4, what we see there is we are commanded to continue earnestly and vigilantly in prayer. And I looked up that word continue, and that word continue, listen, means to be strong in prayer. Prayer is work. It is not an optional exercise for the Christian. It is the hard work business of the church of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says this. He said, He's talking to the church there at Colossae. He said, I had a great conflict with you and thinking about you. And he's talking about his not ceasing to pray for them and the struggles that they were facing. And I thought about that word. I thought, wow, a great conflict. So I traced that word down. And it is from the Greek word agonon, which is our word agony. Agony. But you might be surprised where else that word is found in the New Testament. In Colossians 1:29, it is used to describe a person working till they are exhausted. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25, it is used to describe an athlete who is striving to obtain a goal, to win a prize. In John 18:36, Jesus used it to describe a man who would fight to rescue a friend. And I think about all those words when Paul said, look, I've had great conflict for you. And I think about your prayer life. I think about my prayer life. And I ask, is your prayer like that? Is it? Is it like an athletic contest? Is it like the agony of trying to rescue a friend who's in the throes of death? Is it like working all day until you are completely exhausted? You know, the kind of prayer, my brothers and sisters, that will change lives and change the church so it has a greater influence in this world, this dark world in which we live, is the kind of prayer where we have to really get down and work and pray. I mean, it's a kind of prayer that's very intense. It's businesslike, if I can use that. You say, Paul, how about the early church and prayer? Did they pray? Oh, my. I mean, you can go to the book of Acts, and it is like a handbook on when to pray. Because what you're seeing is Christians praying all the time. Go to Acts 2, when the church began. There you see, at the end of Peter's sermon, there are 3,000 souls are baptized into Jesus Christ. They're added to the church. The church begins. And verse 41 tells us that. And you know what you find in verse 42? It says that they devoted themselves to prayer. Prayer. We see prayer in the choosing of the seven in Acts chapter 6. We see prayer when Peter was in prison and they wanted to get him out in Acts chapter 12. We see prayer when they were sending Paul and Barnabas out on a mission trip in Acts chapter 13. I mean, you see prayer everywhere. It is the hub around which this powerful and vibrant church was moving. The truth is that you will not find a powerful church in the first century without serious prayer. The truth is, you will not find a powerful church in the 21st century without serious prayer. We talked about earlier about Jesus, about how busy he was. There are seven occasions recorded in the Gospels where Jesus did this. He took himself away from everything that was going on around to find solitude and strength for his own life. In fact, there are many occasions that we find in the Bible where there are men who found solitude to be alone to be with God. I think about Elijah and his great victory on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. And then through Jezebel, he gets very discouraged and he runs away. He goes all the way to Mount Horeb. And there he is isolated. It is God and Elijah and Elijah and God. And it's there at the cave that he hears the still small voice of God. I think about Moses who was there in all the busyness of Egypt, in Pharaoh's house. And then he ends up in Midian as a shepherd there for 40 years. And there he's at Sinai. And it's Moses and God and Moses. And God commissions Moses to lead his children. Often God incorporated isolation when he wanted to use an individual. My friends, if you and I want to be strengthened, if we want to be encouraged by prayer, listen, we are going to have to find time to be alone. God is not going to do that for you. He will not do it. Sometimes what you will discover is your family will not cooperate. Isolation. You know, the man after God's own heart, David, he did that. In the Psalms that he wrote some wonderful of expressions to remind us of the strength that we find of getting alone and being with God and spending that time in prayer. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. My friend, when you are in the pressure cooker of life, that's what needs to happen. You need to be still and understand who God is and that He is the creator of all of this universe. And with Him, He holds all the power, all the wisdom. And so we should not panic. We should never bring God down to the size of our problems. In Psalm 62, David said this. He wrote these words. Truly my soul, listen, silently waits for God. From Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. And Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15 says it this way, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. There is no way for God to do what we need to do in our own life and the life of the church unless we get serious about praying. Spend more time in prayer. Someone wrote this, anyone who thinks his time is so valuable that he or she cannot find prayer time, quiet time with God, will eventually not be valuable to anyone except to himself or herself. And so the rest of the time today, I want to do something that's very, very practical. I want to challenge you as a congregation to do a couple of things. Number one is what we've just been talking about. Be more diligent in your prayer life. You say, Paul, I really want to pray, and I just sometimes the busyness of life. Well, most of you have smartphones. You know what you could do? You could just set an alarm like you do for other appointments. And you could spend time there at that time praying. You could make yourself accountable to other people in your family saying, look, I really want to pray more. Help me at this certain time. If I forget, help me that I need to be in prayer. If ever there was a time in our country's history that it needs your fervent prayer, it is now. It is now. If ever there was a time in the Lord's church that she needs your prayers, in the world in which we live, it is now. It is that you might be praying for someone that you know at work or a family member that you have that is lost. They've never come to Christ, or maybe they've fallen away. They need you to pray fervently for them. This church at West Huntsville needs your daily and diligent prayers for all that is in front of us. And the second thing that I want to challenge you to do is in the next 30 days, I want you to find a day, to take a day and set that day apart. Set it apart from all the other days. And then carve out a few hours of that day and commit those hours to God in prayer. You say, well, Paul, I really have never spent that much time alone with God before. Maybe it is this morning you say, you know, I've just never thought about that before. But let me tell you this. It will be worth your time. I think what you'll discover is that when that day comes and it is gone, that you'll reflect on that day and you'll say, you know, I had no idea that those few hours I could spend alone with God in diligent prayer and study could make such a difference in my life. You say, so why should I spend a significant amount of time in prayer? First of all, we need to do it to regain a proper and right perspective in life. What it does, it kind of brings us back and focused to where God wants us to be. You know, sometimes we forget, as Ephesians chapter 6 tells us, that we are in a spiritual war. It rages all around us, and sometimes it's easy for us, for you and I, to lose perspective. What we are doing and why we are here. Isn't that true? Sometimes that we can lose sight of the forest and get lost in the trees. Like the bricklayer who got so involved in laying straight rows of bricks, he forgot he was building a house, and they got higher and higher, and finally they tumbled. It's like a daddy who gets so caught up in his career or a hobby, and he forgets that he has children growing up in his own home without his spiritual leadership. Or a mom who gets so involved in managing the home that she ceases to pray. Or a teenager who gets so caught up in trying to impress their peers that they forget to remember their Creator in the days of their youth. So these very important questions we need to ask in the presence of Almighty God. Where am I going? If I continue in this direction, Lord, where is it going to lead me? Where would you have me to go? Perhaps many souls today are in torment, not because they were violent criminals and sinners, but because they simply forgot what they were supposed to do with their life as it relates to Jesus Christ. And so it's important for us to take some time to gain a proper perspective in prayer. Secondly, taking time to spend along with God in prayer will help us gain freedom from sin. I like 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 that says, look, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I really believe that one of the reasons that we do not live more confident, victorious lives in Christ Jesus, that seldom we are really convinced that we are clean. You see, what happens is we get so busy we don't take time to confess and talk to God about the sin and weakness in our lives. And what happens as time goes on, that incident, that sin, it is forgotten. But what remains is that gnawing guilt that resides deep down in our souls and that takes the edge off our confidence in Christ. And then we're no longer sure that we're right with God. And then a vicious cycle begins. Well, we feel guilty. See, we don't pray. And then prayerlessness leads to more guilt, which leads to more prayerlessness. But a day that we can spend with God in prayer, talking to Him about our weakness, talking to Him about our faults and our sins, asking for forgiveness, asking for His strength in our life, it's like a fresh start. It's getting our spiritual house in order is what it's doing. Thirdly, it can also help to take this time along with God to focus on intercession. I mean, how many times has someone said, will you pray for me? Or how many times have you said to somebody, you know what? I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. Only to have forgotten and not get it done. I suppose that's a very common occurrence. And we have really good intentions. We really do. But see, what happens is the demands of life, the deadlines, the difficulties, the people problems, those things shout at us. And sometimes it's prayer only whispers. So to take that time for intercession, it could be like this. It could be before you leave home to just take the Google map and look on the map at where all of our missionaries are all over the world. And you write those names down and you go to this place and this time where you are going to be along with God. And in your prayer and intercession, you begin to pray for these missionaries and you call them by name. Maybe it is that you have their mission report and you begin to pray about the different points that are in that report, different struggles that they are having, different challenges that they are having at that time. But what it also does is allows us to pray and prepare for a major task. I cannot help but think that when Jesus chose the 12, you know what he did? He spent the night praying. When Nehemiah was going to propose for the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, he spent many days in prayer. I like what Psalm 127 says, verse 1. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. So before we have a major opportunity or a task that's coming in front of us, spend serious time in prayer. You say, Paul, what are you talking about? How about a major purchase that you're going to make? Spend time in prayer about that. Maybe it is that you have some aging parents and you have some tough decisions that you're going to have to make about them. Spend time with God about that. Maybe it is that you're engaged and you're about to be married. Take it to God in prayer. Maybe you're about to start a new family. Do you see what I mean? There's so many things that come at us each and every day that if we can take and carve out this time and we can pray about that. Pray about the fact that there is a person that we are going to start talking to at work about coming to church, about their spiritual life. Sit down and pray about those things. Now, I want to give you some practical suggestions for having such a day in prayer. First of all, As I said before, we must carve out a day and time. If we don't, it will not happen. It won't happen. Other things will push it out. It will get squeezed out, pushed aside. And so put that day and let the family know, let the people at work know that this is a day that you will not be available. Number two, choose a place. You say, well, is a place really all that important? You know what? Our Lord Jesus had Gethsemane, did he not? Sometimes he would go up on the mountain. Choose a place that is quiet. And leave the cell phones behind, the emails behind. Go to that place that is quiet so you can be alone and you can think clearly. And then there are some tools that you're going to need to bring. Bring your Bible. Maybe it is that you want to mark several passages that you want to meditate on before you go on this day. Do that in the hours and days before. Bring a pen or pencil and some paper so that you can take notes and you can jot some things down or you can write some prayers out to God. Bring maybe one of our psalm books here and you can spend some time singing. Or maybe you just want to read some of those songs. And then finally, structure your time so that you can maximize your efforts before God that day in building the inward man. I've always liked the little acronym ACTS. You've seen that, haven't you? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Maybe that would be good to use in such a time. And you come to supplication, talk about the needs of others, and then your own needs last. But I promise you that is something that can transfer your life and the life of this church. There was a man that belonged to a yacht club. And he decided one day that he was going to build the nicest yacht that has ever been built in that club. I mean, he was enamored by the whole process. In fact, he went out and bought all of the finest materials. I mean, he had teak wood decks, beautifully colored sails, the most amazing mast. I mean, he had creature comforts on that yacht that you wouldn't believe. And as he was building, people would come by and they would look at that ship being built and they'd say, wow, that is the most beautiful ship we have ever seen. The young people would come by, teenagers, they'd say, wow, that yacht's a beast. And other people would say, hey, you know, people are going to be talking about that yacht for years to come. Well, he was so taken in by all the things that these people were saying. He began to put all his resources into things that people could see. And he spent very little time and energy and almost no money on the keel and the ballast and the weight underneath the ship. And so the day came. The day came when he was going to make his maiden cruise out into the ocean. And just as he assumed would be true, the whole yacht club turned out. They, with all of their families, and they were cheering and they were shouting at such a magnificent sight. And there he was, standing behind the wheel, enjoying his creation as though he was the king of the earth. And after he got a few miles out at sea, a storm blew up. It wasn't a very big storm at first. I mean, it's just enough to unsettle him a little bit. Then it grew and the waves came to be 15 feet and the wind began to howl and that old yacht began to shudder. And the storm grew so fierce that this huge wave came and it came over the bow and it capsized that beautiful yacht. Now, had it been a normally built yacht, there would have been enough weight at the bottom of the hull to upright it, to take it back to center. But since it had no weight, it capsized. And when they finally recovered the ruins of this very expensive yacht, what they discovered is this man was so confident in his accomplishment, he had put no life raft or no radio aboard the ship. because he did not believe or anticipate that there would ever be a tragedy. The ship was destroyed and the man was lost at sea. And so everybody in the yacht club learned a valuable lesson that day. Listen to me. It is what is below the waterline that really counts. And that is true in your life, and it's true in my life. That's what we've been talking about today. You see, we live in a very accomplishment-oriented society. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, he said, look, he said, the outward man, it is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. And when you and I spend time working on the inward man, time with God, personal, private time, below the waterline kind of time, praying, building that inward man, you know what? It doesn't show up on any list of accomplishments, on any resume. No one cheers you on. But I'll tell you what. Come the storm in life, come to the end of this life, you will be glad that you did. That you did what we talked about today. Getting serious about prayer. I mean, we have a Heavenly Father that has all of the resources and all of the power. And He's asked us to say, you know what? You just ask me. James says in chapter 4, he says, look, you have not because you, what? Ask not. So let's get serious about prayer. And I don't preach this message today to put any guilt on you. I am a fellow pilgrim with you struggling in prayer. But the way you learn to pray is to pray. I want to encourage you to do that. If there is someone here this morning that has not named the name of Jesus Christ, you can do that today. If you've not been buried in baptism for the remission of your sins, I pray that you will take this opportunity. How many more opportunities will I have, you say? I do not know. Today could be your last. I don't know. But today is the day of salvation. If you have any need, will you come right now as we stand and sing?
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Paul Owen. If you have comments or questions, Paul can be reached by email at owen@westhuntsville.org.